Welcome to They Mostly Podcast at Night, episode 257, Insidious.
What's in that podcast?
Oh, let's find out.
Nothing. Nothing but hate and lies and meanness, apparently.
That is a really good description of our podcast, I think. Oh, hate and lies and meanness.
Well, considering you just told people that you want me to be eaten by a lion. I don't know if you told people that, but you told me that you want me to be eaten by a fucking lion. I would say that's meanness.
Yeah, I wasn't arguing.
Wow, you're a dick.
I was agreeing with you.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the last episode of this podcast.
We fucking hate each other and it's ending tonight.
Except we got two episodes to do, so I guess it's going to have to end after the next one.
It's going to have to end after the next one. 258 episodes. We had a good run. Thank you and good night.
5 years. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Well, if I get eaten by a zebra or a lion, it will be the end. So there you go, right?
Yes. And as that is a real concern in Alaska.
It's not a concern in Alaska. What are you talking about?
I was being sarcastic. Oh. You freak.
Oh, I thought you were being serious. I can't tell anymore. I can't tell anymore. I think you really want me dead. And then there'll be a polar bear up there if it kills me. Or grizzly.
Well,
grizzly.
One can hope.
Well, I don't think you're kidding about that, so.
Am I or am I not? You don't know. You can't prove anything in a court of law.
You know what?
What?
I can prove it, because you got this recorded. So there you go. Did you hear that story, actually, about the doctor who was trying to kill her husband slowly with Drano in his tea?
No.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm glad you didn't hear about that story.
How did it work out?
You'll find out.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming she wasn't successful because people heard about it.
She wasn't successful, but others may be. So I'm not going to spoil the ending. No, it did not work out. He videotaped her. He was suspicious when it didn't taste right. So he videotaped the next time she made her tea and she had a big old thing of Drano.
Why would you use Drano, though? Why? That's not going to work.
Well, over time.
No, I mean, because people are going to taste a difference. Like, obviously, your tea does not usually taste like Drano.
So tell me, what tea would you use?
I've been thinking about this a little bit.
Sure.
I would probably grind up apple seeds.
Ah, cyanide.
Yes.
Arsenic.
Cyanide.
Is it cyanide or arsenic from apple seeds?
It's cyanide.
Okay. They're both lovely. I mean, don't get me wrong. It took a very dark turn, thanks to you. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
You asked!
No, it took a dark turn when you said you wanted a lion to kill me. This is just retribution. Finding out how we slowly kill a person, so.
What?
What?
Nothing. How is that retribution?
It's retribution. You'll find out in your drink.
Oh, okay.
I do bring your drink to you every Friday night, so.
You do.
Don't know if you want to trust me on that one anymore.
Yeah, you're too lazy to do anything.
Oh! Now you have to do something just to prove you wrong.
You're sitting there over like crushing up, like grinding up the apple seeds with the little mortar and pestle, like, I have ambition, damn it.
I'll prove it to you when you're dead. That's just rude. That's rude. But it's true.
And then you can conduct a seance to contact my spirit.
I don't want anything. If I'm going to kill you, why would I have anything to do with your spirit?
To be like, I told you so in the afterlife.
Oh, well, I guess I could do that.
I thought you were that petty.
I am that petty. I am a petty ass bitch.
See?
So, just for that, I'm going to fart in this closed room where I can't smell it. And
Fuck you. It wouldn't be the first time.
Sure not. So how was your week, Chaos?
Fine. How was yours, Carnage?
Fine. It was fine. It was a week.
Yeah.
It's Easter weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I am ready to party.
Because I know personally when I think about big party weekends, Easter is right up there.
Oh, yeah. It's like Mardi Gras at my house.
Mm.
We drink until we pass out.
Yeah, is that how Catholics celebrate Easter?
I am not Catholic.
Your mother is.
And my brother is, but yeah. I don't know, actually. We're not celebrating this year because it's bogus. I offended my family yesterday. I'm like, what did I call them? I'm like, oh, you're just like, what do they call you guys? Christmas Catholics? Holiday Catholics? Christmas Christians? Because the only time they go to church is, well, you know, when I drive her, and that's only at Christmas. I'm like, I'll just drop you off at the door.
Oh.
How about you get into who we are and what we do so we can get through this?
All right, all right. We are the Mostly Podcast at Night.
Mostly.
We are two best friends of 25 years who bicker and banter our way through a different horror movie each week. We take turns picking the flicks because that's how it works. Most of the time out of a genuine desire to share them with you, our wonderful, lovely, supportive audience. Sometimes just to piss the other person off because we have hashtag friendship goals. Our friendship lives in the hashtag Mariana's Trench of Hate, where we MMA style duke it out when we don't see eye to eye on movies because we have our very own octagon down there. Spoilers ahead and expletives ahead.
And
what was that?
I had a cough. I had a little frog in my throat. Shush, you. God.
Did you do your vocal warm-up exercises?
I did. Called Screaming at You. That's my new vocal warm-up exercise.
Oh, well then, yeah, you've done it.
Or I just scream obscenities. That should really be our...
Oh, I thought it was when you just sing out loud and off-key to old-ass songs that I don't want to hear.
Well, anyway, this week we did Insidious.
Insidious.
Insidious. I keep saying his name.
She keeps saying Insidious, hoping that I'll say Insidious, because when we were watching this movie, I started calling it Deciduous.
So I thought maybe I'd get you to do it. Insidious. We watched Insidious. It was done in 2010. It was a PG-13 rating. It was an hour and 43 minutes long, and got a 6.8 on the IMDb scale. What about that tomato meter?
So glad that you asked, because the tomato meter is at a 66%, so pretty close. Critics' consensus, aside from a shaky final act, Insidious is a very scary and very fun haunted house thrill ride. I do not agree. Audience score, 62%.
No editorializing that. Jesus Christ, we're not even in the cast yet.
I know.
Get to it.
All right, fine. The cast. Josh was Patrick Wilson.
You will know him from those Conjuring movies. He was also in The Tall Grass and Aquaman.
That would be why I never see him anything else. Renee was Rose Byrne.
From Bridesmaids, Spy, and Neighbors.
Elise was Lynn Shay.
There's something about Mary, Dead, and Ted. Okay, something's wrong here. American Boogeyman.
Okay, I was very confused by your notes.
I don't know, a Ted Bunch American Boogeyman. That can't be a real thing. I don't know what the fuck that was supposed to say. I think it's just American Boogeyman, though.
Specs was Lee Wannell.
From Saw, The Bye Bye Man, and Crush.
Tucker was Angus Sampson.
He's in Mad Max, The Lincoln Lawyer, and Fargo.
And Lorraine was Barbara Hershey.
She's from Black Swan, Hannah and Her Sisters, and Hoosiers. Do you want a little summary?
Yes, I would love one of Carnage's famous 5-second summaries.
Family moves into home with their coma kid and things go awry.
Moves into home with their coma kid? Oh my God.
What? It's true.
You are too much.
He's a coma kid, right? To this. This is your pick. Why did you pick it, first of all?
Okay.
I need you to answer this for me.
Why did I pick this movie? Honestly, because... I don't know. I thought people would listen to the episode. Like, it's a popular movie.
So you're pandering, is what you're saying at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because when I make sincere picks about, like, Giallo or something, nobody listens. So, yeah, I picked a movie I thought people would listen to.
Wow. Isn't that called selling out? I think that's called selling out. But we have to make money to sell out, though, don't we?
Yeah, we can't possibly sell out. We make like 3 cents a year on this podcast.
Hey, that is a hard 3 cents. We can go and give it to somebody or three people, 1 cent each.
I already gave it to the poor.
You gave it to yourself.
No, I took 3 pennies out of my bank account and I threw it at the... Salvation Army guy when he wouldn't stop ringing his bell, and then I kicked him in the shin because he still wouldn't stop ringing his bell and he didn't say thank you. So then I pushed over his little bucket and the coin went everywhere, and he said thank you bitch, and I said you're welcome, have a nice day, and I went on.
Wow. I love the fan fiction in your head. I just want to trample through your brain for a little bit. Oh, you know what? I wanted to ask you a question, by the way.
Yeah.
Speaking of, before we get into this movie, even though we've already done What Did You Do This Week, did I hear something about you being put in Facebook jail?
Yes. My comment got flagged for inciting violence. But it wasn't a big deal.
Doesn't our friend Clara get flagged for that all the time too?
Yeah, she's always in Facebook jail because she fights with fascists online. So I thought I would fight with a fascist online today, and now I'm in Facebook jail.
I thought Facebook jail, they ban your account for a bit.
They don't let you like post. Like, you can still post to your own Facebook.
Oh, you just can't.
But you can't like comment on things.
Where the hell are you guys that you're seeing these other posts to comment on? Or is it group shared or something?
No. This one, so my one derby friend has a public derby page for her derby persona, and she posts a lot of personally held beliefs and opinions and stuff on her page. And there's this one guy who I don't know why he follows her, but he does. And every single post, he has to like come in there. What, like the, well, actually, this is why you're a complete turd and I'm right. And I just get so sick of it. And usually I don't engage and I just scroll on, but he was being such a bastard today that I was like, fuck him.
Hey, trolls got to eat too, okay?
Yeah.
God, I hate people. All right, let's get into this movie. I was just curious. I thought that was newsworthy for the podcast, that people would be entertained by the U-Port in Facebook jail. And I just love that today, so.
Yes.
I'm not even in social media much anymore, but you can put Facebook jail. It makes me want to go back, so. All right, hit us up.
Okay. So, this movie is a pile of crap, and we start
Okay, I'm going to say one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't forgive Patrick Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Because he plays Ed Warren, you know, mm-hmm. and that's why I always thought this one was like one of the Conjuring movies, because I'm like, oh, it's Patrick Wilson.
Oh,
and then there's someone named Lorraine in it. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, wait, it is the, no, it's not. It has nothing to do with him. But.
No, yeah, it's not the Conjuring movies at all.
Apparently, Patrick Wilson can only get horror movies.
Apparently.
Just kidding. I don't know, something's smarmy about him. It's his face. I think his face is smart.
I actually don't mind him. Like, I really have no opinion on him either way. I don't like that he plays Ed Warren because I hate the Warrens, as everyone knows. But
yeah, there's a new Conjuring movie. The Devil Made Me Do It.
Oh yeah, that's not new.
Well, 2021, it's new-ish. I think anything post-pandemic is, like, new.
Oh, okay. Because so I thought you meant, like, new as in, like, coming out this year.
No, I did not mean that.
Okay.
Sorry.
So back to this movie. We've got married couple Josh and Renee. Although the way they spell her name is, frankly, annoying.
Thank you. It bothers me, too. I'm like, what the fuck? Is she French or something? Like, no.
It looks like it should be Renee. It's Renee. Lambert. They've recently moved into a new home. They have two sons, Dalton and Foster. What the hell? Who named these characters? And they have an infant daughter named Callie.
Somebody with a name, Renee, with an I. Okay, that's who named the characters.
Okay. So, shortly after they move in, Dalton dresses up like a superhero with a little cape. It's kind of cute. And he sneaks into the attic where he's, like, looking for something. I can't remember what he was looking for.
No kid ever.
Yeah, no kid ever goes up into the attic by
themselves. Or the basement.
Right, exactly.
I don't care how brave and superhero you think you are. You're not going up there.
Kids don't do that.
No. Mm-hmm. Especially his age? No.
Yeah.
They're scared shitless.
I mean, when I was that age, I wasn't even aware whether our home had an attic or a basement. So.
Okay, you can't use yourself as a gauge.
All right.
Because I knew.
I'm sorry. You knew the complete layout of your house?
Yes, actually.
You had the blueprints?
I knew how to get up to the attic through the garage. Yes, I did, actually. And we were on a slab, not a basement. So, yes, I did know the blueprints of my house.
I still don't know if the house that I was in as a kid had a basement or an attic.
Okay, you don't know if this house has a basement or an attic.
Yeah, we have an attic. We don't have a basement. See, I know.
Are you on a crawl space or a slab?
slab.
Okay. Well, that's improvement then.
See? See? There you go. I haven't been up into my attic, but I know how to get into it.
Go up there. Why don't we go up there?
I'm pretty sure there are animals living up there. So that's why.
Well, let's go meet them and pet them. What is wrong with you?
Well, they might be rabid, so I don't want to do that. You, however, are feel free.
Fine. I will. I'll pet them all. Anyway. So he's in the attic. It doesn't even matter why he's up there.
No, it doesn't. He falls off a ladder and hits his head, and his parents hear him crying. They Aww. Come up and comfort him and take him back down out of the attic and tell him not to climb ladders anymore.
Which Rose should feel... Oh, Rose, I'm sorry. Renee should feel horrible because she's the one that broke the rung earlier in the day.
Yeah, she is.
Because she was trying to catch the light, and that's what he was trying to do, too, is get the light.
Get the light, yeah.
And he fell off the broken rung.
Yeah.
Bitch. You put your kid in a coma.
It's her fault. Oh my god. Mom blame me much on this really? Podcast. Wow.
Yeah. So he slips into a coma the next day. Spoiler. Yeah,
the next day, there's this weird like red door in their attic that goes to nowhere. But anyway, the next day he's in a coma. So they take him to the hospital, and the hospital can't find anything wrong with him. He's not really in a coma. They don't know what's wrong with him. He just won't wake up. So 3 months later, after getting nowhere with the doctors, what is so funny?
It's a coma, but it's not a coma. Well, what the fuck is it? He's in like a vegetative state. He's in a trance. He's in a trance. Like, they wouldn't release him from the hospital.
Sure they would.
They'd put him in like a nursing home. They wouldn't release him at home, I don't think, would they? He was in a coma, but not a coma. I mean, and they don't know what's wrong with you.
If these people are well enough off to have the insurance that they need, yeah, they probably would take him home.
Do you think these people are that well enough off? I mean, they do buy 2 houses in a year, so maybe they are.
And it's their big houses too. So yeah, I think
I don't have oh shit. I looking at Patrick Wilson's smarmy face, I can't get into the power that he has enough earning potential with that face.
Well, he's only a teacher.
Exactly. How do they have so much fucking money if he's just a teacher?
Well, it's like those home like shows where they go like, she makes jewelry on Etsy and he's a dog photographer. Their budget is $3.5 million. It's like,
hey,
what?
Hey, dog photographers make a lot of fucking money, okay?
Apparently
don't diss.
They do.
More than teachers. Yeah, I just don't believe in his earning potential with that face at all. Which is why I'm surprised Hollywood believes in his earning potential with that
face. Can't believe he gets work. Anyway. Sorry, Patrick Wilson. I feel like every single episode we sacrifice at least one actor.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
To the movie critic gods.
Tippi Hedren mostly.
Mostly Tippi Hedren.
It is going to be a dark fucking day on this podcast when she really does die. Just saying.
You're going to try to make jokes about it, and I am going to smack you in the face.
Be horrible. All right, anyway, continue.
Okay, so, yeah, the doctors can't figure out what's wrong, so they just send him home. And they set him up with, like, a hospital bed and all the beep machines, and he has a nurse come in. So it's like, yeah, they've got some money.
And Renee just, she's at home with them, the kids anyway, so.
Yeah, that's the other thing is, like, she's like a composer or something. I don't know, maybe she makes some mad money from her teaching songs.
Okay.
I've heard of lots of songwriters who make bank just writing songs.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, for commercials and stuff. Like, they never made it big as a singer or something, but
that's true. Or as a piano teacher. Or, I can't. We know as a piano teacher, she's not making no money. We used to work in that world.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not making any money as a piano teacher. Paranormal things start happening around the house. They are having strange noises. Their home security system alarm goes off on its own repeatedly. The door opens by itself when the dad gets up to deal with the alarm at night.
Things go awry.
Yeah, things go awry. Foster, the little brother, even claims that he's seen Dalton walking around the house at night.
I saw it too.
Did you?
Yes. I saw it too.
Did you alert the media?
No. Why? Is that, was I supposed to?
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting evidence for this case.
God, fine.
And Renee finds a bloody handprint in Dalton's bed sheets. Like an adult size handprint, not a child.
Well, she gets like totally freaked out. She, and I don't blame her. She's in the house by herself, mostly with a little baby and a comatose kid, and all this paranormal shit's happening around her. And then she sees, and she's like the demon.
Right. She's like seeing like an apparition too that tries to attack her. And her husband is working late. Like, although he says he needs to stay late to grade papers, I don't know any teachers that regularly stay till like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, he's doing something shady. He's having an affair. I'm going to call
it. I mean, that's what I would think.
But again, though, I question his getting laid potential with that face.
Well, I mean.
Just kidding. I'm kidding. No, sorry. That was so mean. I'm so kidding. Anyway. Yeah, so he's being a douche canoe.
Yeah. He's being a douche canoe. He doesn't believe that she's seeing these things, even though, like, weird stuff is happening to him, too. He's just in denial.
Well, then his mother finally comes to visit, and Renee gets her. That's the rain.
Yes.
Renee gets her on the side, on her side. Mm-hmm. Completely. And, hold on.
Please. You like to see a supportive mother-in-law.
I know, it's kind of surprising, actually. Mm-hmm. What?
I just always think of, like, if I had married my fiance, what my mother-in-law would have been like, and it would have been a supportive environment at all.
No. So they eventually convince them to move to another house.
Yes. And he's like, okay, fine, we'll do it. You know, we really aren't in the financial place to move again, but I understand. I will do it for you. So they move because they think the house is haunted. Mm-hmm. So they move into their new home, but the supernatural activity continues. Renee is seeing the ghost of a young child dressed in period clothing. Just once, I want to see a ghost who like died in 2006 and is like running around going, YOLO! I mean, that's me.
I would kill for that.
Wouldn't that be great? Yes. Or like just it just appears at the back of the hallway and goes, it's Britney, bitch, and then fades out.
Yes, I'm there for that. Yes.
I think this is 100%. I want to know why we never see this.
I don't know either.
So, let's see. Oh, yeah. So Lorraine arrives and says she had a nightmare about a demon with a red face in Dalton's bedroom. And she later sees the same demon behind Josh because she's got like psychic powers.
Well,
or is she just
she's just sensitive. Okay. And we find out why. And it's because her friend, and she brings her friend Elise in.
Yes.
And we find out from Elise, like later down the road, they keep it from him and they keep it from him. Apparently Josh was possessed when he was a kid. And that's how Elise and Lorraine met, is because of his possession. Mm-hmm. And they've been friends ever since, which they thought they expelled his possession a long time ago. We'll find out differently. But, and that's, they're talking at a kitchen table and Lorraine just looks up and there's the demon right behind Josh.
Yeah.
And Josh is still like totally skeptical. Mm-hmm. It's his face. It's stupid face. He can't believe in anything.
Got his stupid face.
But then that same time, the kid is attacked in his room. He's mm-hmm. still coma.
Yeah.
But they hear all this like noise and calamity happening. And they go up to his room, and he's thrown onto the floor. His bed's on the side. There's shit everywhere. Like, not literal poop. But like, shit everywhere. And Josh's like, oh, I believe. Okay, bring Elise in.
Yeah. You know. He's like, finally, like, okay, I guess I can't ignore this anymore. So Elise comes in, and she explains that Dalton is not in a coma. Like they said, he was born with the ability to astral project his consciousness and had been unknowingly doing so in his sleep, believing he was simply dreaming. And she says what he did was he astral projected out that night and got lost and can't find his way back to his body.
But at the same time, though, before that even happens, she's in the room looking at Josh. The shithead kid. Dalton?
Yes.
Sorry, not shithead kid.
Wow.
And she describes the demon before she even explains the whole astral projection thing.
Yeah.
She describes the demon because she's looking at it in the room. She can see this demon. She's describing it. She's got two assistants with her.
Yes.
And they draw the exact same thing that we've seen, Lorraine's seen, or Renee's seen.
Yes.
So, yes, the kid has astral projected his ass too far from his tether.
Yes.
But what the fuck's up with the demon following him?
Right. So, she's saying he's traveled too far and has been captured in a purgatory dimension called the Further, which is the dumbest name ever, a place inhabited by the tortured spirits of the diseased.
It could be called the Nearer. It could be Dumber. That's not...
The Dumber. Without his consciousness present, his body is comatose, and these other spirits in the Further want, especially this demon, want to possess his body so they have a way back into the physical realm. Because the Further is apparently not a very fun place.
True. It sounds like fun for me, though. I mean, honestly. Like, tormented souls? Eating at live people? Love it. Just kidding. Yeah, and Josh, even with everything going on, Josh is still... I don't know if I believe it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe it.
He still doesn't want to accept what she's saying. He accuses Elise of being a scam artist, in fact, and throws her out. But then later he finds drawings in Dalton's room that seem to confirm what Elise has said. Like, there are some drawings about things that have happened to him, and then there's drawings about things that haven't happened yet, and then there's drawings about him and this demon, and yeah. He draws his quote-unquote dreams that are him astral projecting himself all over the place. And they say, you know, the reason why he can do this is because he got it from Josh, mm-hmm. and Josh was almost possessed, and they go into that whole thing. So Elise and her team come back and they attempt a seance, but things go awry again. Elise is like wearing a gas mask.
This is so fucking weird.
It is so dumb.
Oh my God. I do not understand. I do not understand. What was the one guy wearing? He was wearing something too weird.
He was wearing like this headset, and the gas mask had a tube, like an accordion style tube that went from the mask to the headset so that only he could hear her.
Why? I don't understand.
Because she was talking quietly or something? I don't know.
No, I don't understand the gas mask.
No, I don't understand what the point of the gas mask is either.
Was she going to release sarin gas? Are her farts that explosive? I mean, I just want to understand. How does the gas mask protect you from the spirits? I mean, do they smell like rotten eggs or something when they first come up? And she's like, I don't care about you people. I just care about myself.
Dun, 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 dun. Doesn't say. I don't know. All right, we have no explanation for this getup. Let's see. So she comes out of this trance and says the only way to rescue Dalton is for Josh to astrally project himself, I can't say that word, into the Further to lead him back to his body. So Elise puts Josh in a hypnotic trance and he projects himself into the Further. He finds his way to Dalton by, like, he, like, goes up through the attic and there's this red door with a light over it. And it's like, what is that doing there? And he goes through the red door and it's, like, the demon's lair. And, like, Dalton is in shackles in the demon's lair while the demon is gleefully, like, sharpening his Freddy glove.
All right.
I mean, that's what happens. I don't it's understand no, why, true. But it is what happens. So they're chased and attacked by the red-faced demon while the spirits from the Further invade the real world somehow to terrorize Renee, Elise, and the others. Josh is confronted by the spirit of the old woman that tormented him as a child, and he, like, sends Dalton off while he deals with her. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Aren't you supposed to lead Dalton back to his body? What are you just sending him off for?
Just move along, kid. It's fine.
Just go on, honey. It's fine. Don't worry. The demon will stop attacking you because I'm dealing with something right now. I mean, what? I thought that was incredibly irresponsible of him. But anyway, he tries once and for all to overcome his fear, and she appears to retreat, and he thinks he's bested her. Josh and Dalton wake up in the real world, and the invading spirits vanish. Don't ask me how they were able to invade without bodies. I don't know. That seems to break the rules of this universe, for one thing.
There are rules to this universe?
I mean, I always want there to be. That's like the tenets of good storytelling, is the universe has to have rules, but not every horror movie script writer understands this, apparently.
Maybe you're just a little rigid.
I'm not bitter.
Maybe you're just rigid.
I am not rigid!
Ow.
Sorry, I think I
No, you definitely blew out the levels with that
blowing
one.
Blowing out the levels on
good
that
job.
One.
That's okay.
Sorry about that.
So everyone's happy now, though, right? Because everyone's back and everyone can get along, right?
Why don't we all just get along?
Everything's happy and it's a happy ending, right?
No, yeah.
There would be a sequel then.
Oh, right. So the family celebrates their victory, but Elise senses that something is wrong with Josh. When she snaps a photo of him, Josh flies into a violent rage and strangles her to death. Or is she dead? Mm-hmm. Okay, she did die. I thought
he
so.
He kills her, yeah, because he won't stop taking the picture. He just snaps and strangles her to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Renee finds her dead.
Yeah, okay, I thought so. I couldn't remember if she was, dead or if she just unconscious.
Oh, no, she's dead.
Okay, she's dead.
She did.
So Renee discovers her body, and she picks up the camera and looks in the camera at the photograph that was taken, and the photo reveals that Josh is now possessed by the ghost of the old woman from his childhood.
Who was played by a man.
Which was played by a man?
Yeah, the old woman was played by a man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just FYI.
Got it.
Fun stuff.
Josh appears behind Renee, and she lets out a frightened gasp. And that's how it ends.
Until the next one.
Until Insidious 2. Return of the terrible Insidious.
Let's see here. Although the woman is old woman demon is played by a man, it is not until they started working on the sequel that the filmmakers decided that the character was actually a man dressed as a woman.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck
I'm
you guys.
I'm just reading
not
it.
You,
okay.
Them. I'm saying fuck you to them. The guys who decided it was really a man dressed as a woman. Fuck you.
The bizarre mask that Elise wears in the scene where they attempt to contact Dalton's spirit bears some resemblance to the Sandman's gas mask from the comic book series of the same name, distributed by DC Vertigo. Interestingly enough, Patrick Wilson wound up working on several productions. Okay, it doesn't say why she was wearing that mask. I thought I was going to say that. I need answers.
I mean, I thought she was going to...
answers.
I thought she was going to take a rip off a bong with that thing.
No, that totally could have been a bong, honestly.
I mean, I go into shops and see those all the time for sale.
Bong masks?
Yeah.
Like that look like that?
Yeah, it's a legit thing. That look like gas masks? Yeah.
Interesting. Uh-huh. I just wanted a gas mask.
No, that's a thing.
Anyway. So you hated this movie?
Yep. I just thought it was boring. I didn't think the demon was scary. I didn't think any of it was scary. I didn't even... The jump scares... I don't even remember the jump scares getting me.
A couple got me, like when the kid was in the cupboard and
opens
the cupboard and you know,
pretty much any quote-unquote jump scare, which is really just a music sting at a place you're not expecting it, will make me jump because I don't like that. But
and I knew about the one where the demon shows up behind the chair because I was in the fucking trailer and I was like, aw, you know, it's always the good ones that are in the trailer. You're like, save your good stuff.
They save all their best stuff for the trailer. It's like, I didn't even need to watch this movie. I could have just seen the trailer and saw all the best parts in 3 minutes.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Well, I'm sorry it was a disappointment for you.
Yeah, what did you think?
I don't know. Like, I know that's a weird answer, but, like, I liked, like, it just seems, like, so ridiculous. It just seems so ridiculous. Like, your fucking house is haunted. Your kid's in a coma. Let's move everything and go to a new house. Like, it's like unrealistic. Like, beyond. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you deal with the fucking haunted house. You know, you don't move to another house. You don't move your comatose kid. You don't leave the, you know, the... I don't know. It just seems so unrealistic. Like, yes, you're supposed to extend your belief and, you know, that spirits are real. And
suspend your disbelief.
Whatever.
Not extend your belief.
Well, you can do both. I've heard it both ways. Anyway, you know, and yes, spirits are real and they can inhabit kids and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's just like, what's the point of having the kid in a coma? But he's not in a coma. He's in an extended astral. Like, I can kind of get behind that. Like, he's an astral sleepwalker. What do they call it?
Astral projection.
Yeah, astral projection. I can kind of get behind that, even though I don't believe in it. I think it's kind of a cool idea. But then what's the whole point of the demons coming back if they're not using his body and causing havoc? I mean, they're not really causing that much havoc. You know, they're causing more havoc to the kid in a coma.
It's especially weird to me because people do think, there are people that think that astral projection is like a real thing that you can do.
Okay.
And then they just made up these arbitrary rules for it instead of trying to base it off of what people accept about it as true. I don't know. It just seemed weird to me.
I just think the whole premise is it's weak.
I think so too.
Storytelling is what it is. And it's just, I did get bored in it.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Towards the end, especially, I was like, okay, well, and then that seance was just so weird. Like there's just some weird parts of, like, you're adding things to make it weirder and it's going the opposite way of like creepy weird. It's going like what the fuck weird?
Yeah.
You know, like you're trying to make it creepy. You're not trying to make it like,
there's a point where you have to make it like creepy weird, but if you make it too weird, people lose their belief in your story.
Mm-hmm.
It takes them out of, they can't suspend their disbelief anymore because it's just too bizarre.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. It seems completely arbitrary and pointless.
Like, I feel like I could get behind, like, someone astral projecting and not getting lost and not finding their way home, but not, like, a place where there's demons. Like, I'm going to astral project where there's demons, you know? I just don't know. I wasn't a fan. Like, it was scary in places and, you know, the part with the old woman at the end, I was like, great, he killed at least. You know, there wasn't enough deaths, honestly, for my liking anyway. I'm just kidding.
The Further reminded me too much of the World of Darkness universe, where they have the Shadowlands / the Umbra / the Abyss. It's a plane of existence that lays, like, on top of, like, parallel to this plane of existence. And so you've got, like, everything that's in this plane of existence exists on that plane, but also there's monsters.
Well, it's kind of like Silent Hill when you think about it that way, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that we've seen it, you know.
It's right. Just, it's not original or interesting.
It's right. And it's done. Not scary because if they spent the whole time in the Further or more time in the Further or something, I maybe that'd be more, you know, horrifying. But just like, I want my kid back. I want him out of the coma. I don't care. I don't give a shit about your kid. I sound so callous. I don't give a shit about your kid. I don't give a shit about your douchey husband. Like, I like Rose Byrne.
Yeah.
It really made me sad. I like Barbara Hershey as an actress, mm-hmm. too. And it just kind of, like, it fell flat. Like, I liked Rose Byrne's acting, but I didn't give a shit for the character that played Elise. Like, that was, like, overacted.
Yeah.
Especially when she's describing the demon, and I'm like, okay, yeah. Now. Okay.
And yes. Then they, like, reveal, when they reveal the image of the demon, you're supposed to be so shocked and horrified, and I'm like,
dude, it's a member of the Blue Man Group in the wrong color.
Yeah.
Wasn't that scary?
No.
Yeah, so I'm not, I mean, maybe I'll watch it again. Maybe I missed it. Like, I would probably give it one more chance to see if maybe I missed some subtleties, or I was too tired or cranky that day or something.
No second chances.
No, I'll give a second chance. I won't give the Raven a second chance. We'll talk about that later. But yeah. Anyway, so that's me. Anything you want to add before we rate and get out the fuck out?
No, I think I mean, like, I added stuff to what you said, so I think.
Did you though?
Yeah, I did. I don't think that I need to say anything else. It took 3 weeks in 2010 to film at the historic Herald Examiner building in downtown LA. I don't know. That's about it. That's all I gotta say.
Do you want some fan fiction instead?
No, we gotta rate first. Oh. Don't we? Don't we rate before we do fan fiction?
We can rate first.
Okay. I'm gonna give it a 4.5. I wouldn't watch it again. I didn't think it was very imaginative. It was very derivative of a lot of other things I had seen.
Yeah, it just wasn't a strong story.
No.
I'm with you. I was going to do a 5.17, actually.
Okay.
So I'm very close to you. I think I will give it one more shot, but not anytime soon. I'm so burned out right now anyway.
Oh, and that demon totally had like a Mo Howard if he got into the hair gel haircut.
Stop.
He did.
All right. So I do have some fan fiction. There is some on fanfiction.net. Some that makes sense, like Supernatural and Saw and Paranormal Activity. Then you've got Harry Potter. And this is my favorite, though. Star Wars. And I'm going to read this one. The story is about how Darth Maul from Star Wars, because Darth Maul from My Little Pony is different than the My Little Pony from Star Wars.
Right, naturally.
managed to find himself in the film Insidious. Insidious.
Backfired.
Yeah, so that happens. Insidious. There we go. So that's your fan fiction for the week.
All right.
Pimp us in.
Awesome.
We'll get the fuck out of here.
We're part of the Morbidly Beautiful podcast network. Morbidlybeautiful.com is your place for all things horror. And they have a great podcast network. So if you're looking for other horror shows to add to your repertoire, be sure to check them out. I'm sure you'll find something interesting. I was just looking on the website to see if there was what was new. They always have on Tuesdays, they have Tubi Tuesdays where they highlight a horror movie from Tubi, which is awesome because Tubi actually has a lot of good horror on it. A lot of horror you can't find other places, too. So, you know, check that out. And if you want to engage with us on social media, I might not be on there much longer. But we are at Podcasts at Night on Facebook. We have a Facebook group. We have an Instagram. We have a Twitter, a Slasher and a Good Pods. So that's where you can find us. We really appreciate reviews. If you have a couple minutes, wherever you listen, you can rate us. And then if you have the ability, leave us a couple of nice words and a review. If you have some cash to flash and you're interested, we also have a merch store that'll be linked in the show notes. So that's it from me, Chaos. I'll just say thanks so much for listening and stay bloodthirsty, friends.
Good night from Carnage. And as always, we were filmed in front of a live studio audience of actually absent cats.
And they're all asleep.
Bitches.